The gift of the word this morning is the next song of ascent, Psalm 125. It goes like this. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. The word of the Lord. You've heard it many times and in many ways, but one of the great promises of Scripture to the people of God is our eternal security. When we have put our trust in Jesus, when we have received the life that he offers to us, we have eternal security. Or you might have heard it one way, once saved, always saved. That sounds nice. It's nice to say that and think of that. But if you're like me, there are many ups and downs in your life. There are many times where you might even doubt that. Am I always saved? Am I always saved? What about those times where I struggle and fail morally? What about those times where I sin deliberately? Where I just choose to say no? Like a disobedient child. What about my doubts? What about those questions that I don't care however long I've been coming to church, I still have those questions. What about when I get so depressed? What about that? That doesn't line up, right? Once saved, always saved? Or maybe you know somebody. Maybe you know somebody who, as the psalm here, it says those who have turned to their crooked ways. Maybe you know somebody in your family or one of your friends who has, once been saved and been going to church and living a good life, and then they've really backslidden or they've turned to their crooked ways. What about them? Can I offer this promise of eternal security to them? How do we handle this amazing truth that can be kind of complex? Well, whenever I hear somebody say, once saved, always saved, I actually do believe that. I think that they're right. But we have to keep the proper focus. We have to keep the proper focus. In this psalm today, this song of ascent that the people of God would sing as they traveled and pilgrimed through life, a song that you and I can sing as we journey on our ways, a prayer, really. A prayer that we can pray to God. It's a chant. This is a chant of victory and celebration. It's a song rejoicing in truly the security that we have as God's people. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. The poet is using familiar geography as he writes this song. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. The Hebrews would have known Jerusalem. They would have seen the valleys and the hills around them. It would have been pretty amazing to read this psalm in that time and just to be able to look around and just the illustration that is where they live. It can be similar for us living in this beautiful valley, looking around, and if you're in the right spot, you can see Mount Ascutney. You can see all the hills around Lebanon. And it can feel kind of fortified, right? It's a beautiful stronghold of a valley that we live in. And just as we are surrounded by hills, so the Lord surrounds us. We are secure in God. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. from this time forth and forevermore, for eternity, the Lord surrounds his people. He's got you covered. He's putting his arms around you. Or if you're from the South or from the Midwest or the Bible Belt, you might hear people talk about the hedge of protection when you're driving or when you're going out on a journey. There is a hedge of protection around us. The Lord our God. The geography was familiar. It was a beautiful image of protection and security as the Israelites would have traveled, as the people singing the song would have traveled. But even in the middle, there's this kind of another image that would have been familiar too. Not geographically, but as the Israelites think about their history, as the people of God think about their history. Verse 3, even the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. We can read verse 1 and 2, and it's amazing, and it's a good promise. But you might say, well, what about this, or what about that, or what about this time where I'm not feeling secure? Or what about the hurricane that has wrecked my family? What about when this tragedy happens? What about when this cancer happens? What about those times where I really do question God and I don't feel secure? What about those times where I sin and fail morally and I don't know if I'm secure? Israel might have said, what about those times where you promised us a righteous king and a righteous rule? What about those times where we looked no different than the Canaanites or the Gentiles around us? The history here, it says the scepter of wickedness. What is that? Well, the Lord promises and speaks to and blesses the children of Abraham. He promises that the tribe of Judah would be a scepter of righteousness and reign. The people of Israel would be the righteous rulers, the ones that hold up God's word and really are a light to the nations. And yet, if you read through the Old Testament, time after time, the Israelite kings are like doing abominable acts. They look just like the world around them. Child sacrifice, prostitution, worshiping idols. They look worse than anybody. And you read that and you think, what's going on? What is this scepter of wickedness? The psalmist says, the scepter of wickedness shall not rest, shall not dwell, shall not remain in the land allotted to the righteous, even if the righteous were to stretch out their hands and do wrong. We think about being secure in God, and we think about all the evils out there, the things that we are trusting in God for and asking for protection from the world, from the temptations, from the devil, but even from our own flesh. If you fast forward a bit, Jesus shows up on the scene. He comes into a community that's ripe with political strife and fear and hatred. And he talks to those who would listen and he says, hear me, all of you, he says. Understand this. There's nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him. That would have struck the ears of people. It's not what comes from the outside, but what comes from in. Then are you without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from the outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? What comes out of a person is what defiles him. From within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. It's a long list. All these things come out of man. They come from within, and they defile a person. I read that list, and I'm sure as I read that, we all think of, oh yeah, oh yeah. How can I be secure when the evil can even come from within me? From the scepter of wickedness that is from the inside. Wickedness that comes from even inside the people of Israel. What are we to do? But the promise remains. The scepter of wickedness will not remain. Jesus also prays to the Father. We see Jesus praying, and he says amazing words like praying for his disciples and praying for those who would believe after them, praying for us. If you read through John 17, it's an amazing prayer. Jesus is praying for you and me. He says things like, I am praying for them. All mine are yours and yours are mine. Jesus has us secure. I am praying for them. I pray that I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world. I am coming to you, Holy Father. Lord, keep them in your name. I'm praying for those that you have given me, that they may be one. Later on, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. You know, we are told to be in the world, but not of the world. And Jesus here prays for us, that we would be kept from evil, even though it can be all around us, even though it can sometimes be inside of us. It's what we pray every week. Lord, keep us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Jesus prays for us. But still, the question remains, what about those times? What about those doubts? What about the depressions and the feelings that I have that don't line up with being secure in God? What about those times that I sin? What about my friend that I'm worried about? What about my family members that I'm concerned about? Sometimes people think of the life of faith as a really shaky ground. You live by faith? Isn't that like walking on a tightrope over Niagara Falls? Or isn't that like being in a wheelbarrow pushed by somebody walking on a tightrope over Niagara Falls? Why would you live such a way? Friends, the life of faith is totally opposite of that. Faith is not about our feelings. It's not about our experience. It's not about our own work. Truly, this verse 4 and 5, the psalmist rejoices and obviously praises morality and uprightness, but it's not like works righteousness, as we often hear about. Do good, O Lord, to those who do good and to those who are upright in their hearts. Friends, faith is a secure life. It's not like being on a tightrope. It's like being in the middle of a temple, in the middle of Jerusalem, in the middle of the mountains. It's being fortified and secure in God. Faith is not about our feelings or our setbacks or our works. Faith is about who we believe in, and it's about the facts of God. And that even though Israel was a terrible nation at times, God still promised that the scepter of righteousness would not rule. His promise of the scepter of righteousness through Judah still remains. That there would be this king named David, and that he would have a throne that would last into eternity. And even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the new David, the new Israelite, the perfect man who comes in our place and who gave his life for us, who did not yield to temptation, who stayed strong in faith, who knew where his security came from, he is our fact of God. Something beautiful about Christianity and the life of faith is that it's not forced upon us. God loves us. And just as we confessed our sin and remembered that Jesus is rejoicing over the lost sheep that returned to him. You know that next parable, the father who lets his son go, his son takes his money and his inheritance. His son sort of like gives him the middle finger, if you will, and runs off, and he just lets it happen. But the son returns, and Father God is rejoicing, waiting. Faith isn't forced on you. You can do what you want. You can decide if you want to be in the faith. I don't think God's going to force you to stay in it. Are you always saved? I believe so. But there's a point where we can reject God. It's a continual rejecting of God. Verse 5 says, those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. The Lord will vindicate himself. The Lord will vindicate his truth. So let me encourage you. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which will not be moved, but abide forever. If you have a doubt, it's okay. If you sin and fail morally, it's okay. Trust in the Lord. Don't be hardened. Don't reject the Lord. Don't reject his mercy. Faith is not about your feelings, but it's about the fact of God, the fact of his steadfast love and his choosing. The fact that he decided he loved the world so much that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, eternal security. Verse 4 says, do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in their hearts. It's a posture, it's a belief, it's in our hearts. And that goes back to verse 1, trusting the Lord. Trust in the Lord. That is the position of our hearts. Wherever you're at today, whatever doubts you're feeling, wherever you're at, trust in the Lord. May that be the posture of our heart. And we can all sing this chant together. We are like Mount Zion. We are secure in God. We have eternal security. We cannot be moved. Peace be upon Israel. Peace be to God's people. Peace be to us in Christ. Amen.